Good morning, hearty souls. It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this snowy and potentially snowier Sunday. I'm pleased to see as many of you here, and there might be a few more people that straggle in, so I'm very pleased that so many have come today. And at one point we were thinking maybe it was going to be the choir and a couple other folks, but it's good to have you here as we gather for worship. I want to send an invitation for you to stay after the service for a couple of minutes to just chat and greet and enjoy some snacks in the kitchen beside us. And the deacons' meeting has been canceled for this afternoon due to not enough deacons being here to meet. So the deacons will not meet, and we're going to just reschedule for our March regular meeting, which will be the first Sunday in March. The 5th of March. So we will not try to meet again in February for deacons. But you will note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And I would just say the property trustees for tomorrow night and Bible study on Tuesday are pending weather issues. They will meet, but if weather is bad, we will not. Tuesday morning it may not be snowing, but depending on how the cleanup is here, we may not have Bible study then either, but I will let folks know. Feeding ministry on Friday takes place no matter what. I've been down here in blizzards before. Hungry people are hungry. So therefore, feeding ministry does not cancel because of the weather. So we will do a meal Friday night, and we will need cakes for that. We'll be doing our regular menu, and next Sunday is the mission board meeting after church, and I did just put in there Ash Wednesday. It's coming up. You know, oh, it's so far away. No, it's not. March 1st is not that far away. So I am starting to advertise that. Also, I do want to let you know that funeral service for Keith Berry, the brother of Lana Cooper and Dorothy Berry, has been scheduled for Saturday, March 4th at 11 here at the church. And just wanted to let you know that. Wanted to update you on some of the offerings that we've been receiving, and some of the posters. The posters have been updated. The retired ministers and missionaries offering, we have received $350 towards our $500 goal. The Super Bowl of Caring, we received $214, which has surpassed last year's amount. So thank you very much. And we have another challenge this month for the American Baptist Women's Ministry's White Cross, and they are challenging us. They will match up to $225 that we give. They will match that, and that will be going to Tom and Terry Myers, who are our international ministry missionaries, international ministries missionaries in Bulgaria. And email went out. There's also some people received it in mail. There are a few pink flyers if you'd like to know more about it. There are special envelopes there if you'd like to give a gift for that as well. And that's during this month. Also, on a brighter side maybe, the summer camp brochures are prepared and out. So if you know of someone who would like to go to camp, I have a couple here. There are a couple out on the desk, or I encourage you, the camp usually encourages you to go to the website and check out the information there. And summer will be here, and we'll be complaining that it's too hot before we know it. So let's turn in the hymnal to selection number 725 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading several verses of Scripture, both from the Old and New Testaments, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves,
we are chosen people,
and pray and seek my face,
we are a royal priesthood,
and turn from their wicked ways,
we are a holy nation,
then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
We have sinned, we have done wrong.
Restore us, O God.
May your face shine upon us, that we may be saved.
Our opening hymn this morning is God of Grace and God of Glory, number 720. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let's pray together. God of grace and God of glory, we gather to offer you praise today. Direct our thoughts, words, and actions as we worship that we will follow Christ's example and share in his obedience to your will. We ask this in his name and now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Time of prayer today, we want to remember there are several folks in our congregation who are under the weather. A lot have colds and sinus infections, and they're sneezing, blowing, and coughing, and sometimes temperatures, and we just want to lift up all those folks today in prayer. And we do want to continue to remember Lana and Dorothy as they're preparing for their brother's funeral in a couple weeks. David Tolstra, I didn't talk with Barbara yesterday, but I did later in the week, and he is now in a nursing home receiving palliative care there. It was too much that Barbara was not able to care for him physically, all that he needed. He was at Glen Ridge. She was hoping that he would be transferred to Courtyard in Medford. And as I said, I'm not sure if that's taken place yet or not, but we want to keep David Tolstra and Barbara in prayer during this time. Also, it's Valentine's Day coming up this week, and we think of love and not only human love, but also God's love demonstrated through Jesus Christ for all of us in that whole concept. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Naomi?
My mom starts her new job as a medical assistant at Cheshire Memorial Hospital in New Hampshire, and I think it's in
great, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful celebration that young Genevieve, as we know her, rather than your grandmother, older Genevieve, or big Genevieve, has a new job and starts that, and that's a wonderful celebration. That's in what she was trained to do. She went to school and graduated earlier last year, and so that's wonderful. We celebrate that. And the family's moved to New Hampshire now, and we're sad to see that, but glad for the family that she's got a place to go to live and work and job. Sorry. Betty?
My niece Ellen, she fractured her shoulder somehow.
Okay. And, so we want to keep Betty's niece Ellen in prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? Irene?
For my friend Elena. Mm-hmm. She's still in the rehab.
Okay. And Michael, we mentioned your grandmother had fallen, and she's okay. Your mom and dad are there, and she's okay, but required a visit to the hospital and be checked out. And, what, is she 97 now?
99.
99, oh wow, okay. So anytime someone falls with that, you need to be checked out. So, but doing okay. So just, anyone keep your parents, as caregivers. And also our other folks that are away for the winter, they're enjoying more summer-like temperatures in Florida, and just want to keep them in prayer as well. Any other requests this morning? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests, there's something on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for being able to come together to your house this day to worship. Lord, there's some tension as far as we know that the weather outside is not good, and we know that the forecast is for even worse weather. Lord, we just pray for those who have been affected by storms in recent days and weeks, and those who will be impacted in the coming hours, that we just pray for safety for those who have to be out in it, those who work to help remove the snow and move the snow so that our streets are safe. And Lord, we just pray for others that have to be working, whether in the medical field or other fields, that the offices and businesses need to be open for business those days. And Lord, we just pray for those that are at home too, and especially those who are confined to their homes, and even more so during storms, that they feel very isolated. Lord, if we're able to reach out in some way, through a phone call or a visit even, help us to do that, Lord, to let folks know that we are thinking of them and mindful of them. Lord, this week is Valentine's Day, and we're mindful of the love that we share amongst ourselves, but also, most importantly, the love that Jesus Christ has demonstrated for us in dying on the cross for us, paying the ultimate sacrifice, paying the price for our sins. Lord, that's a love that we can only try to demonstrate and share with others, but we just thank you for that love and for your love for us, and just pray that we may mirror that love to others that we meet, that they may know that we are different people than many in society because of the love of Jesus Christ, and the love we have for Jesus, and the love that Jesus has for us. Lord, this day we do lift up those who are ill, and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We also pray for those who are in mourning today, recognizing the loss of a loved one in their heart, and just pray for your calming spirit and your peace to be with them. And Lord, we pray for our world today, which continues to be a very dangerous place in many areas, and just lift up those situations to you. We pray for our nation and the leadership, and Lord, the news just seems to be filled, each day. And Lord, one of the biggest issues right now is immigration. And we just pray, Lord, that there may be just and fair decisions made around that issue. And we just pray, oh God, that yes, our nation will be safe, but also that we may continue to be the melting pot that has made us who we are today. Lord, we just thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation. We remember those who have paid the sacrifice and the price for those freedoms. And Lord, we just pray that we may not abuse those freedoms, but that we may cherish them and share them with others. And Lord, this day we offer all of these things now to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture together this morning, and we've sung hymns, we've prayed together. We have an opportunity to continue worshiping God by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Asking that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that they may come to know Jesus too. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning at verse 11. And this is a message that Moses is giving to the Israelites while they are still in the wilderness, waiting to go into the promised land. And this is near the end of his life, and you'll be hearing a little more about that as we get into my message this morning. But hear these words of Moses to the Israelites, but also to us this day. The command that I am giving you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. It is not up in the sky. You do not have to ask,
Who will go up and bring it down for us so that we can hear it and obey it? Nor is it on the other side of the ocean. You do not have to ask, who will go across the ocean and bring it to us so that we may hear it and obey it? No, it is here with you. You know it and can quote it. So now, obey it. Today I am giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I give you today, if you love him, obey him, and keep all his laws, then you will prosper and become a nation of many people. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to occupy. But if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away to worship other gods, you will be destroyed. I warn you here and now. You will not live long in that land across the Jordan that you are about to occupy. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. Love the Lord your God, obey him, and be faithful to him. And then you and your descendants will live long in the land that he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, these words that we have just read and heard from Moses to the Israelites who were awaiting their travel into the promised land, a journey that had taken generations. And Lord, we hear that message today as well, that we need to choose between life and death, between blessing and curse. And Lord, there are decisions that we make every day, small decisions. But Lord, we know that the big decisions are whether we will follow you or whether we will turn our back on you. We pray this day, O God, that this time together, that we may have open hearts and open minds to receive your spirit, to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever gotten lost? I usually expect to take at least one detour whenever I travel to an unfamiliar location. I'm one of those persons for whom GPS was designed, and I often hear that annoying word, recalculating, emanating from that unit. For those of you who have driven in a foreign country, I can only imagine the additional challenges you have had to overcome in order to reach your destination. It's difficult enough driving a car or a vehicle in unfamiliar areas in one's native country. But think about some of these additional challenges when we attempt to navigate in a foreign country. Consider that some countries have traffic flow on the left side of the road, opposite to what we do in the U.S. And imagine the steering wheel being on what we consider the passenger side of the car. And we have to shift with our left hand instead of our right hand. Think about driving where the language, and therefore the signs, is foreign to us. I recall driving in Quebec, Canada many years ago, and it was helpful that I knew a very few French words that helped a little bit with the directionals, at least. But if we are unfamiliar with the language, and we come to a fork in the road, which way should we go? Driving in any of these unfamiliar situations could be dangerous, and we might feel we'd need a driving lesson to learn and practice the rules of the road. And that is what Moses provides to the Israelites in today's scripture. There's a sense in which today's passage can be thought of as a fork in the road directions. Deuteronomy as a whole is presented as a sermon by Moses to the people of Israel as they are camped on the far side of the Jordan River. They anticipate crossing into and entering the promised land very soon. The people have never been in Canaan or lived in any settled area. The generation that left Egypt at the time of the Exodus has died in the wilderness. And these people that Moses is addressing are their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, all born during the 40-year trek to Canaan. So to carry on the metaphor of driving, we might say that these Israelites are not familiar with the rules for navigating life in the Promised Land. So Moses, in what is the climax of his sermon, and whose own death is imminent, puts plainly to them that they are at a fork. And he says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Which way do they go? The Israelites are at a fork in their journey to the Promised Land, and they must decide which road to take. The way of life and blessings, or the way of death and curses. There's no question about which direction Moses wants the people to take. He says, choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the Hebrew word for blessing here denotes the power of life to expand and flourish in all ways. There is some notion of this idea in all cultures, but in Israel, blessing is not a sort of a free-floating life force, says commentator Robert Jensen. He says, but something that this blessing concept is linked exclusively to the Lord, that the blessing comes from the Lord. It's not just out there that anybody can have. For the Israelites in their religion, it's tied to the Lord. And conversely, the Hebrew word for curse is a complete deprivation of blessing. It's enfeeblement. It's existence without the expansion and flourishing that's implied in blessing. So here in this today's text, the people are presented with a clear-cut choice. There's no third option. Not to choose the way of blessing is to choose the way of the curse. Moses here is stressing that this was the primary choice upon which everything else in their lives depended. The choice they make, he says, changes everything. This reminds me of the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, which says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. During the later era in Judah's history, after the scroll of Deuteronomy had dropped out of sight and been forgotten, King Josiah ordered a repair of the temple. During the work, the high priest found a scroll, which Bible scholars conclude was all or part of the book of Deuteronomy. And it was taken to the king, who had it read. When he heard what was written in Deuteronomy, he tore his clothes, scripture tells us, a common expression of grief, for the king recognized how far his people were from the way of blessing that the scroll described. That's the kind of importance today's scripture teaches. And the decision to which it calls us is clear-cut. Yes, we like to talk about gray areas and ambiguous situations, but Moses, having heard the word of the Lord, will not have any of that. There's no gray area. There's no middle road. There are two ways, and only two ways, and Moses declares God's way and the other way, and we have to choose. This is not just an Old Testament thing. For actually, Jesus said the same thing in other words when he said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. No middle ground or a third way is offered. And Jesus' disciples heard that message and learned that lesson. For Peter announced to the ruling authorities in Jerusalem following his arrest shortly after Pentecost, as recorded in the book of Acts, these words he proclaimed. We must obey God rather than any human authority. It was God's way or no way. Deuteronomy is not a self-help book or a personal improvement manual, and Moses is not a life coach. He's talking about a primary decision that defines all that we are. Will we be God's person or won't we? That's the choice. He's not saying, today you've got this decision and tomorrow you're going to have this one and another fork in the road. He's saying, this is the major fork in the road and you must decide. Are you with God or are you not with God? Moses is telling his people and us as readers of Deuteronomy that there are moral absolutes in life, that certain things are always right and other things are always wrong. Yes, there are some things about God's ways that are unclear to us. And we do encounter some problems where the right direction is not absolutely apparent. But still, we need to be looking at what is apparent. But by and large, there's nothing ambiguous about God's way compared to our way or the way of the world. Moses' message is strong and straightforward. His direction is clear. One choice and only one choice is the correct choice, and the choice which will result in blessing. There are two words that Moses uses here that are keys to this reading. One of them is obey, and the other is love. And Moses links them both with blessing. He says, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess." Now, granted, we'll admit that obedience is not a very popular word today. We'd rather keep our options open and opt for the opposite of obedience, which we think of as being freedom. But the thing is, obedience and freedom are directly connected. As U.S. citizens, for example, we have freedom, but only within the bounds of the Constitution and the laws of the land. Freedom with no fetters at all, of course, leads to trouble, and we're likely to lose our freedom. In the same way, if we stay within the lines of God's highway, we are free to live without moral guilt and free to make all kinds of personal choices that enhance our happiness. But if we take a side road or a back road, a road we deem more scenic or exciting, the broad road rather than the narrow road, it's over, Moses says. We'll find that the road is strewn with litter and nails, and we're going to come to a dead end with an empty gas tank and a flat tire or two. Preacher and author Eugene Peterson notes, when he writes these words about Deuteronomy, that the book is full of commands. It's not a book that we're going to sit down this afternoon probably and say, oh, I'm going to enjoy some reading of the scripture this afternoon. It's full of commands, but a command is a word that calls us to live beyond what we presently understand or feel or want. He continues to write, "Everyone has choices to make. The choices are not trial and error guesses. They are informed by the commands of God. These commands do not restrict a natural freedom. They create the conditions for freedom." Peterson goes on to point out that the first word addressed to Adam by his creator is a command, which is found in Genesis chapter 1. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Well, that was instructions. That was a command to Adam. And the author goes on and says, "Commands assume freedom and encourage response. Addressed by commands, we are trained in response ability," the ability to respond. The other key word in this passage today is love. Moses says that choosing life and blessing means that his people will love God, walk in God's ways, and observe God's commandments. And this love is a two-way street. God loves us, but we are also to love God. Whenever the word love is used in Deuteronomy, it's always an action, never simply a feeling. God's love in action delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. Israel's love for God and our love for God is also to be active and demonstrated through obedience to God's commandments. And so at some point we sit with our motors idling at a fork. And in truth, there are really only two choices, God's way or the other way. As biblical commentator William Barclay writes, all life concentrates on us at the crossroads. And here are the driving directions. Turn onto God's way. Let's pray together. Lord, we do seek directions from you. We hear from Moses. We hear from you through Moses in the written word in Deuteronomy that we have choices to make. We come to the fork in the road. We must make decisions. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be with us as we make those decisions. We hear so often the world pulling us one way, calling us down that pathway. And Lord, we just pray that your voice may be as loud, calling us down your pathway. Lord, we seek to serve you, for we do love you. We are grateful for the love that has already been demonstrated to us and for us. And Lord, we know that you will continue to offer your love to us in the future. And we just pray, oh God, that we may be worthy of that love, that we may not only love you, but we may obey your commandments, that we may follow the way that you have planned for us. Lord, give us the driving directions we need through Scripture, through prayer and meditation, through other believers as we fellowship together, that all of those you use to communicate to us what you would have us to do. Lord, help us to be worthy of all that you have entrusted to us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Trust and Obey, number 437.
Not a friend nor a prayer.
remember that we are a forgiven people, eternally loved, thoughtfully instructed, and gratefully obedient. Go with God's blessing to live each moment and to walk into God's future. Go in peace. Amen.